Scott, thanks so much for joining Richard and myself. I know you've got meetings coming out of the yin-yang right now, as a lot of folks in decision-making positions do, as we kind of try to figure out what the new norm is going to look like, and I guess most importantly, when the new norm is going to start. We talked a little bit at the start of the show about the impact that the pandemic could have on youth sports. And I guess what I'd like from you in my first question, and again, I'm glad you're with us and I trust you're doing well, is where is Hockey Canada right now in terms of developing protocols for return to play, not just in the fall, but I'm thinking of a lot of the summer hockey camps, for example.
Well, first of all, Jeff and Richard, thanks very much for having me, and I hope you guys are safe and well also. In the latter part of March, we spent a lot of time communicating with our 13 members across the country on, items to basically just kind of stabilize things and make our way through the initial phase of this. Things like how they would govern and organize their year-end meetings, some financial planning models, some staff planning, et cetera. And then up in and about the, maybe after Easter weekend, our attention really focused to return to hockey. And we've got a fairly extensive plan that's well underway. The two priority task groups that we identified were a regulatory group that would look at, regulations that govern probably higher level of hockey, mainly junior hockey or maybe higher levels of minor hockey, and how we recognize that, everyone's not going to return the same way. When we do return, it's probably not going to look like normal hockey for a little while. It might be more skill development. And just how do we manage in the best interest of players there? And then the other priority task team is health and safety. Research shows that a significant percentage of families definitely want to return to youth sports, but they're very cautious and concerned about how they would do that without, appropriate protocols in place to make sure that their son or daughter's in a safe place. So we've got that group working with the support of facilities people, medical personnel, and people that have worked, throughout our system. We will have by the 1st of June in each of our 13 members a member plan that identifies the protocols that we will put into place to take the direction from the provincial or the appropriate health authority on what return to the rink or return to the ice could look like, as well as initiatives that will need to be taken that are very, very different around, cleanliness and hygiene and looking at making sure that facilities are sanitized between you. So a tremendous amount of work that's going on in those areas. But as well, we've got a number of other groups that are, just working on how we position hockey as an opportunity for, a good peace of mind when families are ready to return to youth sports, managing all of our national championships and international events and the planning on that. Also looking with our members at how we can support minor hockey associations. We've done some cash flow planning with our members to help them to alleviate what would be kind of the stress on their registration and insurance fees that would be paid. So really trying to make sure that we factor in as much as we can to help people through a pretty uncertain environment.
Scott, there's a lot there that you just mentioned regarding a return to play. So let me see if I can sort of dial down a couple of specifics, and you'll answer as best as you can because I understand, I'm sure, that these plans are fluid. For a return for youth hockey, and let's just make that generic from like ages like 6 to like 17 or so, what has to be in place at a facility where there could be assurances of safety and health, understanding and knowing that at the moment, the larger guidelines that the country has issued are that people have to be 2 meters apart?
So you're right. It's very fluid. Based on what we know right now is that it's likely that provincial or local health authorities will provide direction, definitely with the consideration to social distancing, but also based on, numbers. And so we have seen in a couple of parts of the country for youth programming where at a private winter club in British Columbia, the appropriate health authority, it wasn't the provincial, it was the local or regional health authority, said that activities on ice could happen for members of that club. But it was limited to, I believe, in the first phase, one coach on the ice and a maximum of three or four players. So that in all likelihood, the return to play will be directed by the number of people that are allowed in a confined area. So, we're in the process of building out a menu that minor hockey associations could use if they choose to offer that type of program. Some may not. We're also looking at guidelines from a facility point of view as to how families or players would enter the arena facility and would exit, again, to manage the requirements of the local health authority from a social distancing point of view. Whether or not dressing rooms could be used or for a period of time, it's essentially a dress and drive to the rink and then leave. So, all of those things are in the works. First and foremost, the direction that hockey will take will be based on what is provided to us from the relevant health authorities. And it's our understanding that those will be very different from province to province to start, and potentially even region to region within a province.
I appreciate that. It's an interesting answer. I want to ask you something about facilities that you mentioned there, because that's of interest to people who aren't involved in sports. How can my place of employment, if you work at a place of employment as opposed to home, how can I feel safe in that environment? From what you have learned, Scott, and from what you have discussed, what goes into or what entails to make a facility sort of medically sound for hockey to take place? And here's my second part of this. Does it become cost prohibitive at all in certain places that might not be able to afford that kind of intensive cleaning on a regular basis?
I'll answer your second question first. I think there may be situations where there are some facilities that are in a position where they can offer on-ice activity and they're prepared to do that. And then there are other facilities that may be prevented from doing that for financial reasons. On our task force that's related to health and safety, we have a partnership nationally with CanLan, who operates a number of facilities. And also, we have a representative from the Ontario Recreation Facilities Council, who have great experience in kind of the health and safety members, not only in facilities in Ontario, but across Canada and internationally. And we're taking direction from them. There definitely will be significant requirements. I'm not sure I'm the best person to detail and define those. I'd want to be very cautious there, but there definitely will be, hygiene and sanitation requirements that will need to be put into place, and those protocols will need to be in place because the health authority will direct us to do so.
Scott, the other thing that Richard and I talked about, again, as a parent, this is, well, a parent of now a teenage daughter, but someone who has sort of gone through the process of paying for a kid to play sports and enjoy it and go to tournaments and all that good stuff. How concerned are you about the economic impact of COVID-19, just on a base level, on a parent's ability to pay for ice time, for equipment, to get their kid in a program? And is there anything, you mentioned you've talked, or Hockey Canada has given some guidance to organizations about cash flow issues. Is there anything in the hopper that might offer financial help for parents? Because again, there's going to be a lot of dislocation here. I believe Canadian Tire's been involved, and they've done terrific work in the past with their various programs. But is this something you will ultimately have to focus on, or Scott, is that something that we need? That's a little farther down the road.
We've definitely had early conversations about that, and you're right. Canadian Tire and Jumpstart Charities have done a wonderful job at supporting young people and getting into youth sports. And I think families will have an opportunity to be supported there in whatever sport that may be. I do know that a number of our partners have discussed the notion of some type of financial support to encourage, you know, to be supportive of families and to keep them in the game. We have had internal discussions. You know, I think our partnership with Bauer and the First Shift Initiative, that's also, we also partner with the NHL and the NHLPA, which in the past has been about supporting young people who would get into the game for the very first time and reaching out to new participants and new Canadians. I think we'll see a little bit of a shift in that in the short term and be focused on, you know, providing equipment and support to families to stay registered in the game. And we've started a discussion internally. It's very, very much on a preliminary stage about, you know, what we may be able to do to provide some form of a support. But clearly we're going to need, because of the size of our membership, we're clearly going to need some partners who would assist us in that. And hopefully, you know, in the coming months, we'll be able to do some things that maybe can't help everybody, but at least help some. I think the other thing, Jeff, that we may see with minor hockey, and we may be forced into this because of restrictions with health authorities, is that, you know, hockey might be a little bit more local than what the norm would be. And maybe there's an opportunity where there's a little bit of, you know, financial sensitivity or financial relief there in the short term until hockey gets back to normal.
Jeff, if you had, that's okay. How much does what happens with the NHL over the next couple of months, how much impact will that have on Hockey Canada's thinking, both for its youth programs as well as the international tournaments that it's part of?
I think from a youth program point of view, I think we recognize that, you know, young people who play hockey are very interested in watching hockey at the highest level. And for men's players, that's the National Hockey League. So, you know, hopefully, you know, when the NHL does return to play, there's an opportunity for some additional excitement, maybe in non-traditional months, for hockey participants to, you know, experience, you know, the top level hockey from a broadcast point of view. I think for us, you know, we're scheduled to host the World Junior Championships in Red Deer and Edmonton in December and January of next year. We're planning fully to be able to do that. If for some reason or another there needs to be an alternate approach to that, we'll definitely talk to our partners at the Canadian Hockey League, the host committee in Red Deer and Edmonton, and obviously the International Ice Hockey Federation would be the final decision-making body there. But if we were in a situation where we had to look at an alternative approach, it definitely would be nice to have the, you know, to be able to witness and experience and also learn from the expertise of what the NHL would employ in their return to play.
Scott, as I said, I know that it's a busy time for you. You guys have a lot in your plate, and I really appreciate you joining us. You know, I wish you guys, I wish everybody involved in sport development in this country the best of luck going forward, because they're going to need it. But it's good to know that there are at least some plans being put in place. And, you know, anything we can do to help, please feel free to reach out.
Well, thanks to both of you. I really appreciate the opportunity to share where we are. We're learning on the fly on this, and we feel we've got great support from people like you and our members, but no one's got any experience in working our way through this. So the collective effort needs to be at its finest. Thank you, everyone.